Thank you for joining us on the special edition of Desiring God Behind the Blog. David Mathis here with Tony Renke and Jonathan Parnell. And we are privileged to have with us two members of the Detroit Tigers baseball team here for opening week of the Major League season. We have Darren Downs, left-handed pitcher, and Donnie Kelly, utility player, only active Major League player who's played all nine positions. We just met these guys. They just came in the door here at Desiring God. The Twins and Tigers chaplains have put us together with them, so we got it recording. And guys, thank you for your willingness to come talk to us today about something that matters so significantly. And the thing we want to explore here with the both of you in particular is the role and significance of your faith in the Christian gospel, your faith in Jesus as Major League Baseball players. What difference does it make? How significant is it daily that you have that faith and trust in Jesus Christ?
You know, it's great to be here with you guys. You know, and for me, I think that God should be involved in everything in your life. He should be number one. You know, I've went through some times in my life, as I'm sure everybody has, where he kind of falls out of that position and something else slides in, you know, and he's going to find a way to make sure that he's there. He's number one. And, you know, in baseball, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, travel, you know, being away from home. It's a long season. And just dealing with different adversities, you know, baseball is a game of failure. And when you're going out there, and for me to have that rock, to have that, you know, the word to turn to, prayer, and other guys like Darren and Jeff Totten, our chaplain, other guys on the team to really encourage you and lift you up is huge.
It seems like perhaps a common narrative among professional athletes and among professionals in every field is that our day in and day out work and the things that occupy us can slowly move us away from the things that are most central and most important. And often God, in his severe mercy, will have some precipitating event that has our eyes go back open and be awakened to the most significant things. And is that an experience for you guys and others around you in the game?
Yeah, just know sometimes, like Donnie said, just being on the road, you know, just it's hard. And if you're struggling, you know, especially him at the plate, he's not playing well, I'm not pitching well, it's just tough. And just to know you have some encouragement and some guidance and then other guys to turn to is just, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Donnie, you experienced very, very much so just putting an improper emphasis on baseball in your life, and the Lord brought you back through an injury. Can you explain that to us and kind of what you learned through that?
Yeah, in 2004, I got hurt, and I'll tell you what, we thought it was a shoulder injury because I was having a hard time throwing. I was getting numbness in my pinky and ring finger. And to go through that and to find out that it was something in my hip that was causing the pain in my shoulder. But it took us from May until October of 2004. And it was, you know, it was just a time in my life where, you know, I was going to church. I was going through the motions, basically, instead of really digging in and focusing on God and where God wanted me, what he wanted me to do for his kingdom. It was all about me, and I wanted to get to the big leagues. I wanted to do this. It was a time where he was like, okay, hold on. You know, it's all about me, you know, and where can I serve God the most?
Very significant for Darren is an event in 2009 where God got your attention, carried you, comforted you, strengthened you. Would you relate for us that a life-changing event in 2009?
Yeah, it was 2009. I got hit in the head with a line drive, you know, coming back at me. And just right then and there, I couldn't speak. No speech, no words were coming out. I was dazed. I was confused. I was scared. And up until that point, I just remember just having baseball be my number one, you know. And I think that God had that moment in my life to build me back up, you know, break me down, so to speak, and build me back up and just keep me going towards his will and his truth. Because I was just living for baseball and living for results and to try to get, you know, try to get promoted, and none of that was happening. I was struggling. I was in back in high A again. I was in double A again. And I just remember one instance, well, I was on the ambulance to the hospital, and I just remember just praying, and I had my cross on. I just remember praying that only God could really save me, comfort me, and he's there, whatever the outcome is, you know, from this point on, as I'm throwing up in the ambulance. And I just remember holding that and just praying, and just from then on, I just, you know, I got out of it, and I just remember just going forward with my faith and just continuing to just learn and just read and, you know, taking steps forward and just help just me and my family. It was a tough time, but I'm truly glad it happened though.
Darren, we hear a lot about pitchers getting hit sometimes. This is one of the most serious ones I've ever heard of. And it's one of those things, it was amazing that God preserved your life, healed you from this, but it's one of those things you can't really forget about. You got to go back on the mound and pitch. And so how has it been with you just, you know, remembering this and how your confidence, and what are you drawing on to help you get through, you know, every pitch now?
Just every time I go out, I pray, you know, right before I take the ball to, you know, after I warm up and stuff. And I just pray, ask God to protect me, no matter what the results, good or bad, just protect me and just get me through this. And, you know, just have faith that he will.
Have you talked to other guys who have been hit? I know Blake Hawksworth, who used to pitch for the Cardinals and the Dodgers, he took one in the face end of, I think, the 2010 season. And he's talked to other guys, I think. We had chatted with him before about how he kind of got over that, just the mental part of after getting hit in the face.
I remember that first spring training after. I was throwing live BP, which is you have the screen in front of you. You're getting the hitters ready. You're getting yourself ready. I just remember they pulled that screen away, and I was pretty shooken up, you know, to say the least. It's just, I continued to overcome that, and I just, you know, in part of my faith really helped me, because without that, I don't think I'd be pitching right now.
So how significant is it? I mean, we have the two of you guys here together, that you're not the only Christian on your team, that you have a chaplain. We got your chaplain Jeff and the twins chaplain Dave here, as well as fellow believers. What does it mean to you guys to be walking this together as Christians in this profession?
Not only this profession, it's something that you need in life. You know, you need iron sharpens iron. You need that fellowship. You need that time together in the Word. And in the profession, I mean, like we were talking before, it's a game of failure. You're going out there. It's a hard game to play, especially at this level. And to go out and compete and know that you've got guys that are praying for you, that are pulling for you, that are encouraging you on a daily basis is huge. I mean, that's something that as fellow believers we should be doing for each other all the time, lifting people up, encouraging them. And, you know, within the game, we've got a great clubhouse and some strong believers that really you can turn to in those hard times.
You mentioned some keys there. Prayer for each other, with each other. Bible study together with each other. What does that look like for you guys in terms of the corporate Bible study with fellow believers on the team?
Just a bunch of guys coming together, you know, just opening or cracking the Word, or just praying together like we did the other night, and just the fellowship, you know, the core group fellowship you have. Nothing against our teammates, but just to be able to share the faith with each other, and like Jeff's here in town, you know, going to church Easter, and it keeps you strong, you know, it keeps you strong in your faith, and it definitely helps on the field too.
We had during spring training this year. I mean, this is my. I think it was my 11th year with the Tigers in spring training, and by far the best Bible study that we've ever had this year. We had 48 people, wives and guys, that came to Bible study. We had people out on the back deck leaning around, you know, the patio door to hear the Word, and it was just, you could feel God at work. which was pretty awesome.
That's great.
Is there something about this profession, what you guys go through with the frequent travel, the pressure, that makes this maybe in a special place where God loves to work, where people sense a need? I can see some in the big leagues sensing their need for God less, and maybe others sensing their need for him more. Is there a dynamic there about particular opportunities for the gospel?
I think that as athletes, athletes are put on a pedestal, and the platform that we've been given as Christians to go out and share our faith, share the word, is enormous. And, to have other guys that you can do that with, we have an event called Home Plate in Detroit where we'll have 8,000 people there to come and hear the gospel. And it's just a great opportunity to go out and share your faith with others, to encourage each other. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. To go out and compete in front of 50,000 people, you kind of grow in it, going from A ball to double A, you get more used to it, I guess, but to go out and speak in front of 8,000, it's a little different,
Just no minor leagues for that.
Right, yeah, and it's, things like this that are great opportunities in preparation for that, to share your faith and go out and at your home church and different opportunities. But the platform, within professional athletes is huge to be able to go out and reach people.
It seems like Detroit is a hurting city too. In the past decade, I'm just economically, financially, the city has really been devastated. So really appreciate how God is using you guys and your faith in the city of Detroit. Your guys' life is so hectic. I mean, you have homes, and then you move for spring training, and then you move probably to Detroit, I assume. You have a home there, and then you travel around. I mean, what do the personal disciplines look like for you guys? When do you find time to read Scripture? Obviously, you have the Bible study, but what does this look like in your own personal life?
For me, I try to read at the park and at night. Like, what our schedule lately, we've had day games all through spring training, so when I come off of the field, I could dig into something or watch a sermon online. But during the season, we have a lot of time at the field, more time at the field than at the hotel, I think. But I just try to get in a good book, get some scripture at the park.
So you're in the locker room,
yeah,
with your Bible open?
Yeah.
Cool. How about you?
Say, on the road, try to get in at night, is most of the, before I go to bed. Yeah. Get in some quiet time, prayer all the time. Obviously, any time that something just hits you, open up in prayer. And at home, it's easier for me at night when I get home as well, just because we've got the two boys, and things can get pretty crazy when they're awake. So, it's a hectic life, like you said, and I think Darren and I are both would say that we're blessed with strong wives who take care of things at home and, really can handle that stress and that pressure. I mean, because it's not easy, especially we came down to last week to know if we were even going to make the team this year. So are you going to AAA? Are you going to the big leagues? Where, what's going to happen? And we really don't have to worry about too much as far as travel and stuff because our wives are awesome.
Yeah, well, congratulations to both of you guys for being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's huge.
Darren, you mentioned that recently you'd come across some Piper videos. You're getting some help from that. Tell us about that. What's been helpful there? What makes that useful in the frantic schedule?
Just the fact that I can go online or go on YouTube and just watch some of the Piper videos, get some good encouragement, good truth, and it's not going to take up, an hour and a half. I could be in the clubhouse on my phone and get a 5-minute video in, before stretch, or be at home, lay in bed watching TV, and I'll listen to a video, and it's just been great because our lives were going, nonstop. We're traveling, we're doing this, so we try to get in the word and stuff, but it's sometimes it's hard to, and that's been a really good help.
Okay, I'm interested in the story of how you guys. I don't know if we're getting into this or not, but just the story of how you played in high school and your college, or how you guys made it to professional baseball, and maybe you guys Christians before. You said before.
I accepted Christ when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
As my Savior, but You know, like we said, it's a, you get to high school, you start having some success. You know, our high school team won the state championship, go to college, get drafted, and every kid wants to play in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. That's when you're playing baseball as a kid on a little league field, you're dreaming of, you know, hitting a walk-off home run in the big leagues in the World Series. I mean, that's just, that's the great part of the game that, you get when you're 5, 6 years old. But when it becomes a problem is when it takes over God, when it takes over, when it jumps the priority list, it jumps the family, it jumps God, and it consumes you to where that's your, where your worth is mm-hmm. to get to the big leagues. Well, our worth isn't in what we do. We play baseball and we're blessed to be able to do that, but we're children of God first.
Yeah, I know if there were a lot of guys listening to this who play baseball and their dream is what you guys are doing right now. And for them, the way that kind of their journey to get there is really pretty consuming with baseball. I remember, I know we all have baseball in our backgrounds, but I just played baseball, which meant you have your spring season in high school, you're playing in the summer, some type of showcase team, and then in the fall, again, showcase team. After the fall, you're going to camps and clinics. And so, I mean, 12 months out of the year, it's just filled with baseball stuff, and then, of course, working out and things like that as well. And it is a pretty consuming thing. So what kind of advice would you give to someone, maybe a 10, 12-year-old kid who wants to be a big leaguer, knows he has to work hard, right? Every camp you go to, they talk about Pete Rose used to swing 200 times a night from the left side and the right side. And you know, if you want it bad enough, you'll work hard. And they just have this pressure of, you know, I gotta sell my soul to this in order to make it. What advice would you give these guys?
I feel like you can't get too burnt out. You have to enjoy it. You have to, you know, love playing the game. You know, play the game the right way, work hard at it. But you have to have time for, you know, other stuff, and just because if you get burned out like me, I was in Florida playing all year round. I went, like mm-hmm. you said, from the fall season, the spring season, to travel ball, to All-Stars, and then high school, it's the same thing, the showcase, and I got drafted. It's just, it was nonstop. And I mean, I came out enjoying it, but some guys get, you know, pretty burnt out.
You know, I think the one thing is to follow God's will for your life, to focus on that. But with my two boys, my wife's father pitched in the big leagues. Her brother plays in the big leagues. Obviously, I've been blessed to play in the big leagues. And the one thing that I would want for them is to work hard, maximize your talents, but don't focus on the big leagues. Because if you work hard, God calls us to maximize our talents, to use the gifts that He's given us. But if they never make it to the big leagues, they're not a failure if they worked hard to maximize those talents, because everybody's only given so much to go as far as you can go. So if you go and you work as hard as you can, you get to high school and that's as far as you can go play, God has something else in store for you that might not be where you want to go, where you want to play at the highest level, but you did all that you could do to go as far and play as long as you could. Mm-hmm.
What would you say to the young baseball player who aspires to be in the position that you guys are in now, like Jonathan was talking about, and they're listening to this conversation and like, let's get beyond the religion, let's not stop talking about Christianity, let's talk about maybe some baseball practices and stuff. What would you say to them to make sure that the spiritual side of things is kept in proper focus? What would you say to a young guy who's looking at you guys and maybe has less of an appeal to what you're saying about the gospel and about Jesus? What would you say to him as far as the priorities go?
I just think, for me, when baseball started being the background for me and God and the truth started being, you know, in the foreground and in front of me and taking it in, my career started progressing a lot faster and a lot quicker, and God did amazing things in my life from especially like 2009 on that I couldn't even imagine, and just opportunities, how they came along. And I really just, you know, I sort of put it in the background and just focus on Him and let, you know, continue to work hard and put in the time in baseball, but not take it home all the time and just worry about it. And, you know, it was a blessing.
I was going to say, don't sweat the small stuff. You know, like from 2004, God's been at the top. Then I met my wife. We ended up getting married in 2007. So there's another thing. You know, baseball kept falling down the priority list. And we had our son in 2009. You know, baseball keeps falling down even further. And it's like the further it falls, the more relaxed I've become in playing. And to go out there and, you know, you go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and whatever, my kids love when I come home. Like, they don't know that I went 0-for-4 and got the hat trick. They, you know, they're just happy that dad's home. And they'll come run and see you, and it's like, okay. And it goes back to what I was saying, you know, about my kids, is just keep working hard, maximize your talents, but don't prioritize it so much that that's what you have to do, because you're going to wear yourself out and get burnt out.
Donnie, before David mentioned that you were a utility player, which if you're listening and you're not sure what that is, that means you play every position. You don't really have, you know, every guy has the C if they're a catcher or a SS or shortstop, whatever, but the utility guy, the UT, means that you don't have a home. You just bounce around, you play where they need you, and you have to be a pretty scrappy athlete to do that. And speaking of baseball, which is the greatest game ever. Amen. We all agree on that. it's a game where it's a kind of a scrappy game. Like, you can fail 7 out of 10 times and still be considered successful.
Hall of Famer, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And so how do you take it in, your role specifically as a utility player, of just really filling in where you're needed, serving where you're needed, and having to
Great
deal
word.
With the up and down and the failures of getting out a lot, and you know, that's the name of the game. So how does that work?
Just, you know, the word you use is to serve, and I feel like that's my role on the team. Is, you know, everybody wants to be the starter, they want to be the all-star guy, whatever. And my role on the team is to fill in, to go in and you know, give a guy a day off here or there or whatever, and to grind it out, to go out and just give tough at-bats, be able to go in and play quality defense wherever I'm needed on the field. And I just feel that it fits who I am. It's the role. It's not an easy role to play, because I'll go, you know, a week or two without playing, and then boom, you're in a game, and you're expected to still play well and produce. So you know, just to continue to work hard in between those opportunities, and to know that you know, God's in control, and that I'll get an opportunity you know, in the near future. But just to bounce, BP is busy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Bouncing around trying to stay sharp at 5 or 6 different positions is tough.
Are there times when you guys are on the field, and this is like a real-time situation, and your faith makes a practical influence in how you respond to someone? Maybe you're being heckled in the bullpen. Maybe you just took one in the ribs or something. I'm like you're tempted to be angry, to show it, to bark at an umpire. Are there moments on the field when your faith kicks in that moment?
Well, I know for this, if I have a bad outing, throw my glove, you know, curse a little bit, maybe throw a cooler. You just, I mean, totally flip out, you know, act like immature, you know, baseball player. But now your actions are going to speak louder than your words, or whatever how I'm saying right here. Somebody's going to hear this and they go watch me play. And right. if I'm throwing something, or if I'm cussing, right, or if I'm bad with the media, they're going to, you know, they're going to see that and be like, no substance here. So I just try to just stay calm and just, you know, whether it's good day at the park, bad day at the park, just keep even keel. And without my faith, I might be a head case out there. So
yeah. How about things you guys have learned on the battlefield? So in the midst of the pressure, do you have go-to verses or go-to thoughts about God? Do you think about him and his sovereignty? Think about him and his goodness? Think about him in the person of Jesus or at the cross? Are there particular worn paths for you in thought or verses that are especially helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about it earlier today with in the playoffs in 2011, we were going to play the Yankees in Game 5 in the ALDS, and they had told me 2 days prior after Game 4 that I was going to be playing third base. in a decisive game. I hadn't really played too much third base, but I was kind of stressed out about it. I mean, you're going into Yankee Stadium, back against the wall. And I remember before the game, we're sitting there, and they, on MLB Network, we had the TV on, and they ran down, like, position by position, you know, manager, closer, starter, everybody. And I think we had one person, I think it was Jim Leland, had got the edge over Girardi. And I looked at Alex Avila, I was like, why are we even playing? You know, we should, they didn't even give us a chance. But prior that, the night before, I was sitting there and I was just praying about it. And God led me to Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where I was, it, up until that point, I was thinking about all the game and the stuff and all the worldly things that that everybody thinks about, instead of being focused on God going into that. That's where, in that moment, that's where he wanted me. And in the first inning, I hit a home run. And as I was running around the bases, it's like you feel the spirit within you. It's like, oh man, you don't have to worry. He's in control, that, you know, you can just go out and play and relax and trust in him at all times.
I just think of just Jesus and how he humbled me, just that he would love me, you know. Just, I mean, we all fall short, and I just, that gives me, I go out there and I'm calm, you know, and I'm praying before I pitch or praying before I get in the game, and there's 30,000 people there, and, you know, it's coming up a big situation, and I'm just humbled by him, that he would want to know me and love me. And it really helps on the field, just being as relaxed as I can, you know, under that situation.
Hey guys, go ahead.
Tom, great. You alluded to this earlier, Donnie, when you're talking about stewarding your talents or your gifts that God's given you. I wonder from you guys, you know, baseball, again, the greatest game there is it's a game of numbers. You know, it's so much about numbers. And yet when we look at Paul and we look at the Bible, we see that kind of the ethos of the gospel, of the Christian life, is we look to things that are unseen, right? For things that are seen or transient, 2 Corinthians 4, things that are unseen are eternal. So as you think about your success, not just on the field, but just, yes, your career, but also just in life, how do you guys kind of, what metrics do you use in a game, in a career that's just overwhelmed with numbers? I mean, stats galore, right? How do you guys navigate your way looking to the unseen?
You know, I think that within the context of baseball and life, you know, you have goals, and to it was like Piper was saying in church the other day, where God should be a part of everything, you know, whether it's in the kitchen, it's in the bedroom, it's in the basement. God should be a part of everything in your life, whether it's baseball, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a fellow believer, whatever it is. And I think that going through things in baseball and life, you know, when you have those goals to, we're all going to fall short, but to try to, you know, stay in fellowship, stay in prayer, you know, just stay in the Word, to where you're focusing on Him and focusing on to be, how to be a better person. You know, the baseball, the numbers and everything is, you know, especially in my role, where you're not getting to play all the time, and I don't want to say the expectations are lower, but you're not going to, it's tough to hit 300, you know, to stay right up there. Yep. So I've tried to focus on quality at bats, quality, you know, on a daily basis, and not only in baseball, but as a husband and father and friend as well.
Okay, I got one note here quick before we close out, to make sure to ask Donnie about your journey in 2012.
My journey. Okay. Yeah. Great question. So last year I was designated for assignment in the beginning of August. I had a tough year personally. And I'll tell you, I was designated for 8 days. So I was, I think, 6 days, and then we're unknown. Then 2 days I was on waivers. You could end up anywhere. And somebody asked me, where do you want to go? And I said, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. You know, I know that God is in control and that we're going to end up wherever God wants us to be. We ended up clearing waivers and going down to AAA. And I was down in AAA for 3 weeks, got recalled to join the team on September 1st, and made the playoff roster for last year, which was unbelievable. So make the playoff roster, go into the playoffs, and game two against the Oakland Athletics in Detroit, I pinch ran in the eighth inning, scored the tying run, and then the top or bottom of the ninth, Austin Jackson, our leadoff hitter, was leading off. And who are you going to pitch to? Are you going to pitch to Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, or are you going to pitch to me when the game's on the line? I mean, come on. So I'm sitting in the cage before the inning started. I just prayed. I asked God for an opportunity, you know, that I could help the team in any way win this game. And John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Asking you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So going into that inning, Austin got out. Omar Infante got a base hit. Miguel Cabrera got a base hit. So it's first and third. Obviously, they're going to walk Prince to face me. But I wasn't – it was. There's 50,000 people there. You're on national TV. All these things could consume you. But all I could think about was this is in God's hands. And I know it's going to work out the way that it's supposed to work out. And it was awesome to go up. I ended up hitting a walk-off sacrifice fly to win the ball game. And I'll just tell you, it was – all the glory goes to him.
Awesome. So, follow up on that quick. The peace you had there, the trust in God, and that active faith. What if you had K'd in that situation? How would you respond to that spiritually in that situation?
Right. You know what? There's a lot of things in life that you ask for that you want to be done, but it's God's will is always gonna take precedent. And to there would be. I'm glad that I didn't K, you know? But you know, it's always his will. And I trust in that. And, you know, it's, that would have been tough, but it would have been something that you have to go through.
Very good. Hey guys, good. Thank you so much for being
great
here.
Being here. Rich.
Thanks for having us.
Time. I'd love to pray for you guys as well as our listeners as we finish up here. Father in heaven, thank you for providing the opportunity here to talk with Darren and Donnie. Thank you for their testimony to the reality of Jesus and your grace in their lives. Thank you for their willingness to proclaim that they are yours, that their faith is in Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, for your sustaining and ongoing support and help. Would you strengthen their faith? Would you cause them to go deeper and deeper with you in the days ahead as they face the flexibility and the complications and the pressures of life in professional baseball? Father, would they go deeper and deeper with you? Would you grant them opportunities to speak like this on audio or whatever scenarios in Detroit when they speak before 8,000 people at a rally, whatever the context would be, whether it's that conversation in the clubhouse? Would you give them the grace to speak winsomely about Jesus and be willing to use them in the progress of the gospel. So, Father, we ask now for your help in sustaining them. Pray for our listeners who have joined us in this. Would you strengthen faith, and would you grant us all deeper trust in Jesus throughout the pains, the stresses, the difficulties in our life, through the good seasons and bad, the good moments and bad. Draw us closer to your Son, to his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.